And good morning. Welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you here. Also, we're very happy to have here with us once again the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for many years now, he's been stopping by. And when I say many, I mean many. Been stopping by.
I think we're past 30.
Well, the show has been on the air 30 years.
Yeah.
And I think your involvement in WILL actually predates the show. I think we've talked about that.
Yeah.
You did a sort of a little special one time with Charlie, with the immortal Charlie Lindy. And then later on, I think we started doing this.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been doing this for a while. We've been doing it for a while. First Wednesday of the month, he stops by here in the 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about cooking and pick some subject to talk about. There are no rules here, though, but we at least start with one thing, and we amble along and tell stories and exchange recipes and always have a good time. And this time around, he thought, well, maybe it would be fun to talk about cookies, particularly ones that are made by people at this time of year. You know, it's a time people celebrate and get together and have special occasions and have people over and have family together, and sweets are going to be a part of that. And for a lot of people, there will be something that they make for this time of year, and that's the only time they make it. It appears here now, and then it's gone. Holiday cookies, that's what he was thinking, and maybe you have a recipe to share with us, or maybe some holiday cookie-related story you want to tell. You can do that. Any and all of that is always welcome. And 333-9455 is the number, 333-WILL, if you'd like to give us a call. We do also have a toll-free line, so you can use that number. If it would be a long-distance call, you can use that. That's 800-222-9455. You can also send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. So
there I was, wondering what to talk about this time, you'll have to realize, since we only have 12 times a year, unfortunately the year keeps cycling, and I don't like to fall into a rut of we have to talk about pumpkins in October and things like that, mm-hmm. And I was going to avoid cookies, but then I surf the television a lot, and Martha Stewart was on, and she had the most magnificent program on making cookies, and I said, that's it. I'm sorry. That's it. And then Paula Deen is making cookies, and then Giada De Laurentiis is making cookies, and even my favorite David Rocco is making cookies. I said, I can't fight it. So I started making cookies, and I dug up some very old recipes and some unique recipes. I mean, they're unique to me. I wouldn't know where to find some of them. And I started making cookies, and of course, then it just grew and grew and grew, and I feel good about it. Like I am contributing to this seasonal myth, you know. I like it. I like that.
Well, I don't know that it's a myth.
Then what is it?
It's a zeitgeist.
Oh, you're using my favorite word, my most favorite word. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is a zeitgeist. That's exactly what it is. The time spirit.
I
approve of that. Right. So time spirit got busy and said, now it was a year ago that I was in South Carolina and visiting some in-laws, and one of the in-laws is married into a Dutch family. And so his mother had made some Dutch cookies and had left them. And then she was in another town at the time. And I absolutely fell in love with them. And it seems to me that we must have mentioned this at one time, because mm-hmm. a listener called in very excited that I knew about these particular cookies. So they were the first ones I made, because they were the hard, not the hardest, but to me the rarest, because I can't find a recipe in any of the books that I have, because this is so Dutch that it exists in that realm. So I get on the internet and I found my niece and got the recipe that came from her mother, which I was with when we were, you know, that sort of thing. And I did finally get the recipe, and I made them this year. So I have some botakuka here for you.
So is this is it a shortbread?
It comes closer to being a shortbread. Yes, there is an egg. But it is a lot of butter and a lot of sugar and a little bit of flour and one egg. And but then the excitement of it is that it also uses almond extract. And so this absolute flower of heaven, you can you're welcome to look at one.
He's sitting in front of us on the table here. Between us, there's a bag of cookies. Including these that he's just talked about,
yes.
Which I will have to sample.
On the back of them, there's an almond. A little almond is sitting on the top. Uh-huh. Or you can put a half of a cherry. They're little tiny. One of my friends came and said, "Oh, I love bar cookies." I thought, these are so little, I would never call them bar cookies. They're only about 3/4 inch square. They're tiny. But, oh, my gosh.
But I'm sure that they're just packed with butter and sugar.
They are. And I cut down on the sugar a tiny bit, but they're very simple, very simple. They're not simple to make because the first batch I got carried away and ran off and was watching television and didn't check the time. And I cooked them for 30 minutes at 350, and they were done too much. And the recipe says 325 or 350, and so I made my second batch, and I made them at 325 degrees, and they were just perfect. So that's one of those things, like your oven, your this or that or whatever it is. So anyway, I note that I must do those for 30 minutes at 325. I generally just crank it up to 350 and just keep going. So I learned that there are some subtleties in doing this.
Cookie recipes, stories, what have you. You don't just want to call and say hi. The guest here with me is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. It's the first Wednesday. It has been our great pleasure for a long time to talk about cooking. And this time around, he's in the spirit of this time of year, because there are a lot of people as part of their celebrating have cookies. And as I said at the beginning, a lot of these things only get made once a year. That's it. It's a special deal. So maybe you have a recipe to share or a story or what have you. You can give us a call, 333-9455, and a toll-free 800-222-9455. Actually, just recently, Mrs. Inge brought home the new issue of Cook's Illustrated magazine, and they had an article in there about making shortbread.
Oh, yes.
And it looked like that might be interesting to take a whack at something that I've never made.
It is difficult to make. It is difficult to make unless you know how, and then it's just 1, 2, 3, zip, and it's done. A very old recipe that I have, and when I read the same article in Cook's Illustrated, they recommend that they weren't sure exactly why, but they recommended using some rice flour. And I remember when Norman Kennedy was here, we had to hunt all over town to find rice flour. We did finally find it, and we made shortbread in the Scots manner. And it uses – and what it does is that takes away some of the gluten that you might turn into a thick goop. And you want these to be just absolutely broken fresh. When I want to make a cookie like that, I would make a kourumbrilis, the Greek cookie that melts in your mouth when you eat it, or the Russian tea cakes, some of them are called, and Mexican wedding cookies. They're all alike. They use a lot of powdered sugar and butter and such, but So did you make the shortbread?
No, I have it. It was just we just got it the other day, and it would be a fairly significant production. I'd have to set aside the time to do it. It just looked to me like it would be good, and it would be interesting to try.
It is now. Now, did they use a pie tin to?
No, I think what they used a large cake pan, like a large rectangular
Rectangular.
Pan. Yeah, to put it in. And indeed they did, you know, you make up the dough and you sort of
You have to pat it in because it is not a liquid. Yes. It is not liquidy, and you have to pat it in, and then you should dock it with a fork. Because that keeps it from rising. It isn't going to rise anyway. But besides that, I thought it looked pretty on the top to have these little fork mm-hmm. dots in the top. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you bake it, you want to then cut it a third of the way through, and then let it sit, and then cut it the rest of the way through. Those are the things that this was also a part of that article. But the use of rice flour I thought was interesting because I had never found that in a recipe. And for them to say, oh, by the way, you know, a lot of people do this.
Well, and that's the great thing about what they do, because they make it every possible way you could think.
Yep.
They try doing tweaking it in different ways to get what they would say is the perfect way to do it, getting down like almost into the science of it. Why, you know, they and then they say, do this, and it's going to work.
Yep.
And we'll tell you why it's going to work. Here, this is the deal.
Exactly.
This is why you want to do it this way. And you know that they've done it 5,000 times.
Yes.
By the time they get to that recipe,
and
so you figure.
And when you see them demonstrate it on the television, it's always an absolutely gorgeous looking whatever it is.
Yeah, they do good work.
I know that they aren't fooling it when they say, you know, this is the best thing I've ever eaten.
Yeah, all right. We have a caller here. Let's talk with them. In Paris, line number 4 right here. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello there.
You just took the words out of my mouth a minute ago when you was talking about Mexican wedding cakes. I had a question about
Oh, yes.
I've always made them with Crisco, and my husband bought me one of those little church cookbooks that has everybody's grandma's recipes.
Uh-huh.
And it, one of the recipes called for lard, and I was wondering if you'd ever made them with lard or vice versa, and if there's a big difference in one and the other. I know that one's not much healthier than the other.
Well, I don't think that. I think that they're slowing down on the health problem with lard and discovering that it actually isn't as bad as they had set it up to be, and that some people are using lard what lard does is it coats the flour differently from butter or shortening. And it makes a flakier, lighter piece. There are some people who have gone underground with the fact that they're using lard for their pie crusts. But boy, their pie crusts are always flaky and tender.
I don't always feel guilty anymore using Crisco. I mean, I do. I carry a big guilt trip when I'm doing it. But I thought I've used it for so long, and I remember using lard when I was a kids
yes.
first learning how to do pie crust.
Yes.
I made some pretty hideous pie crust
well,
when I was a kid.
What you did was that you worked them over too much.
Okay.
Is why they probably were bad. You kneaded that dough too much.
If you use that never fail pie crust and use lard in place of Crisco, would you have to tweak it any?
I don't think I've seen any changes in use less of this or more of that. And then the use of butter is another extraordinary thing. Of course, butter has such a good taste to it. Well, there just isn't anything wrong with butter. Is right. I would go ahead. I would just use it and find out and see what you decide.
Okay.
Because
all right.
I don't believe it is as you're not going to use that much.
Right.
And
well, Mexican making wedding cakes calls for quite a bit of shortening in it, but I mean that's what makes them melt in your mouth.
Well, but yes, it's a lot of shortening, and that's why they're called a shortbread.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. All right,
thanks for the call. That is, you know, I don't know what is, you know, I guess I've known of the existence of shortbread, but I don't know what point I learned, oh, what it means that a dough is short, it means it has a lot of fat in it.
A lot of fat.
Whatever that is.
Yes, that's
whatever
exactly
your fat you're using.
That's
so,
exactly it.
So that's the thing.
So they're talking about some short crusts are fattier than the others,
yeah.
Yes.
And we have talked on and off about pie crust, and we've heard from people and said, oh, you know, you could go all day with someone saying, I make it this way, and somebody else saying, I make it this way. But, you know, when we hear from people who are, let us say, experienced, people whose cooking experience goes back some way,
yes.
I know people say, well, you know, if you really want a flaky crust, that's what you have to do. You have to use lard. As it behaves, you know, it's going back to the chemistry of the thing. It just behaves differently.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's exactly it.
And we've gotten away from that because, as you said, and as the caller said, we've gotten away from that because people have said, oh, that's, you know, that's not healthy. And, well, I don't know how much pie you're going to eat, really.
I like that.
And I have a piece of pie once in a while. Maybe you should not worry about it quite so much. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. It's the first Wednesday of the month. And the man here with us is the man we'd like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And he picks the topics. And this time around, he said, well, you know, this time of year, a lot of people have a special sweet item that they make. A lot of those things are cookies. They make them for the holiday. They make them this time, and that's all you're going to get until next
there's
time.
There's a lot of gift-giving on television of cookies.
There's that. And so he was thinking, well, maybe you have a good cookie recipe that you wouldn't mind sharing, or you just want to call in and say hi, whatever. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Champagne is our next caller, and they're on line number one right here. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have an old recipe for surprise cookies that is very Christmassy because it requires the patients to cut up candied fruit in all different colors.
Oh, yes.
Available this time of year only. And the base is 3/4 cup of brown sugar and 3/4 cup of white sugar.
3/4 cup of brown, yes.
And 3/4.
And 3/4 cup of white.
1 cup of butter.
1 c of butter.
2 eggs.
Oh, 2 eggs, yes.
Teaspoon of soda and 2 teaspoons of hot water.
1 teaspoon of, little tea of soda, yes.
And dissolved in 2 teaspoons of hot water.
2 teaspoons of hot water.
Mm-hmm. Teaspoon of vanilla.
1 little tea of vanilla.
1/4 teaspoon of salt.
And 1/4 teaspoon of salt.
And 3 cups of flour.
All-purpose?
Yes.
3 cups of flour, yes.
And then the lovely stuff you put into it, a cup of chopped walnut meats.
Mmm, all right.
A cup of chopped candied cherries that come in both red and green.
And then cherries.
And a cup of chopped candied pineapple, which comes in red, green, and yellow.
Pineapple, yes.
That's the hardest part, cutting that up.
Chopping that up.
But, oh, boy, when you get it into the cookies, they are just Christmassy as all get out.
Now, let's see, there's brown sugar and white sugar used on this. I like that. And let's see.
The method is like a cake. You cream the butter and sugar.
Butter and sugar first, and then add the eggs.
And dissolve the soda and hot water and add the eggs and the soda mix.
And the vanilla.
And vanilla.
And then you're clear down, and then you're ready to do the flour.
Sift the flour with the salt and beat that in, and then fold in the colors.
The colors.
Mm-hmm. And you can chill it overnight or 2 hours, and then you shape it into 1-inch balls.
Oh, into balls, yes.
Mm-hmm. And bake it in a 375 oven for about 12 minutes.
375 for 12 minutes. Oh, that's interesting timing.
But those were always the highlight of the season.
They would be very beautiful. I think that I've seen a recipe much like that where they were called cathedral windows.
Oh, my goodness.
doesn't that sound uppity from what you're describing?
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yes,
I like that.
Cathedral windows.
So, I was going to say they're like stained glass.
They're like stained glass.
I didn't like the idea of eating.
Well, there is a stained glass cookie and a cathedral window cookie.
Oh,
and it's from the idea that the same aesthetic that excites you, that they're pretty and they're brilliant and they're beautiful.
I'm going to try that on the internet and see if I can find stained glass cookies.
Oh yes, do that. Stained glass cookies or cathedral windows.
It's always lots of fun.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, again, you want to call in, have something to suggest or offer?
Well, you see, that's a very Christmassy cookie.
Yes,
because it's very. You want to do something special. It isn't a matter of knocking out another sugar cookie, which is, by the way, not the easiest thing to do.
333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Or you can send us an email, will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, now, I've been sitting here looking at this bag of cookies. And I think I'm just going to have one. And I'm going to try this.
Just a portion of any one would be fine. I know you don't like to eat at that, but I want you to taste that one because it's pretty tasty.
Well, it's really hard to be eating stuff and then talking because it gets you going to.
Well, we'll forgive you for this time.
Okay.
If you end up being mushy mouth, I'll say, excuse me, he's got a cup of, a little bit of cookie there. Well, here's the recipe.
The butter, I suppose literally that just means butter cookie.
B-O-T-E-R-K-O-E-K, butterkook.
And it is very buttery and has that big, because of the almond extract.
That blooms.
That big, yes, it does.
It really blooms.
And it has a nice chewy, texture.
Yes, it's not dry, mm-hmm. and it doesn't get hard, and they're in very small pieces. Here's the recipe: two cups of flour, and I tried to make it with my favorite whole wheat flour,
King Arthur
white whole wheat, mm-hmm. and it did not work, and I'm very upset. So I got back to my regular flour, two cups of flour, and two sticks of butter at room temperature. So you mix those together, whip that together. Oh, I tried to make it by hand. I thought, you know, Mother didn't have all this machinery and stuff. Why don't I see if I can't make some? Well, it was too difficult. It just did not mix right. I don't know what on earth people did before we had KitchenAids, but nevertheless. Mm-hmm. Two sticks of butter, one cup of sugar. And you can cut down on the sugar a little bit if you want. And that's mixed together. And then one egg drops in. And then a teaspoon of almond extract. And then you put the cups of flour in, the two cups of flour. And you end up with a strange, goopy mess that you can't quite do anything with. It's so sticky you can't touch it really, but you have to then put that into a 9x9 square Pyrex, and you want that buttered, and one part of the family says use flour, the other part of the family says use sugar to crust that, and I just got my spray out and sprayed it and said, go with it. And then it's really hard to put in there, but I found that if I use a spatula, I could level it out enough to be level, and I could smooth it out enough so it would be all right. Then you take an egg yolk and a little bit of water, and then wash the top with egg yolk. And then you place cherries in it, and you're making it so you're going to cut it in pieces that are less than an inch square, a little tinier than that, and that's what that one is. And then it is baked at 325, not 350. Bake it at 325 for 30 minutes. It came out perfectly. Mm-hmm. I did some, so I'm learning more about myself and everything else. I cut off my convection oven. Because convection ovens, when you're trying to be exact with timing, convection ovens cook too fast for you, and you should slow down. But I would never think of slowing down the time, and because I'm watching the recipe, you know, so I wouldn't think to do it. So I turned the convection off. I got beautiful results in my cookies. I would use it for meats and which I don't cook anymore, but and casseroles and things like that. But I thought, I'm gonna give this a try, and of course, the air current didn't speed up, so for cookies you kind of want them to bake right.
Yeah.
Other things you want it to bake round. I mean, you can do a chicken not in a pan. It's like a rotisserie, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it works really good. So I was very pleased with that. But that's Butterkuchen.
All right.
Or
well,
Butterkuchen. I'm not sure.
Very good.
Butterkuchen.
And a little of this goes a long way.
It's yes.
It's pretty rich.
It's very rich, but you'll want another one right away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can get to another cookie. I hunted around and I wanted. I've always wanted to deal with an older kind of cookie, and that would be a molasses cookie, because molasses, see, before refined sugar, which hasn't been around a long time, sweeteners were honey and molasses, and thanks again to Cook's Illustrated, they said, don't use the light molasses. Use the regular molasses, the strong molasses. But don't use blackstrap. Blackstrap will make it bitter. Blackstrap molasses is a very strong bitter molasses. Mm-hmm. But use the dark molasses instead of the light molasses, and you'll be very happy. So I made these molasses cookies, and they're very peculiar because they don't have any liquid in them. There's no. There's no egg, and there's no liquid. There is a liquid. It's a half a cup of coffee.
Nice addition.
Isn't that a nice addition?
Yes.
So it's a little complex. The recipe for that is 3 cups of flour, and then you add a teaspoon of baking powder and a teaspoon of baking soda, and then a half a teaspoon of salt, and then the spices, a teaspoon of ground cinnamon, a quarter of a teaspoon of cloves, a quarter of a teaspoon of allspice, and a quarter of a teaspoon of nutmeg. And then it uses 1 stick of butter and 1 cup of sugar. And I put brown sugar in that because brown sugar is really sugar with molasses in it, that you can actually make that. Mm-hmm. And then 1 half cup of the dark molasses and 1/2 cup of brewed coffee. And then that's all mixed up, and 1/2 cup of raisins and walnuts. I use pecans. And then those are rolled into balls. And the thing about cooking them is they're at 350 degrees, and you cook them for, how long do you cook them? 'Cause that's 12 minutes. 12 minutes. That's not very long to make a big. And what it does is it cooks the outside and the inside stays moist. And that's one of the things you try to get with a molasses cookie, is one that doesn't turn into a hard rock.
Uh-huh. Okay. We'll do a taste test in a moment. First, we need to do a short break. It's our monthly program on cooking with the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And we'll have some more in just a moment after a short break. This is Focus. This morning on the program, Doyle is here, and we'll continue to talk and have a good time and exchange recipes. Let me just take enough time to mention that in hour number 2, the guest is Dr. Alan Teal. He's a family physician in Maine, in the town of Damariscotta, and we'll be talking about a kind of program that he and other people helped to organize there to make it possible for elderly folks, frail elders, to continue to live in their homes, rather than go into nursing homes. It's better for them. It's better for the people that are helping them out. And not only that, it saves money because it's You can do this for a fraction of the cost of what it costs to put somebody in a nursing home. So we'll talk more about that. And it's a model that he argues could really be transported and used in other communities. Then also let me mention that tomorrow in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll review current events in Egypt, what has been going on there over the last few months, particularly recently. There, the guest is Stephen Cook. He's a fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations and is author of a recently published book, The Struggle for Egypt from Nasser to Tahrir Square. We are here weekday mornings from 10 until noon. We have 10 different topics for you every week. You can get the schedule and listen to past programs by going to the website. It is will.illinois.edu. And in this hour, our guest is Doyle Moore. He's with us once a month, always on the first Wednesday. We talk about food and we talk about all kinds of different things. And occasionally there are things that do come up again because they're fun. And there are certain times when, well, it's just the time to do that.
To do that, right.
And right now we're talking a little bit about cookies because at this time, for a lot of folks, that's their tradition. That's part of their tradition. And maybe in your family there was a cookie that your mom made, your grandma, you're still making them. And they're special. And they only come one time a year. Share it with us. Tell us about it. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And let's talk with somebody over in Belgium, line four, right here. Hello.
Hello, and good morning to you all. And mm-hmm. Best of the season to you.
Yes, thank you.
I don't have the recipe, but I do have a misunderstanding of why things happen. And that is this. My mother always used to make it's not really a cookie. It was called a date bar. It was kind of like a white cake type thing made in a pan, and then she cut them up. She had dates and black walnuts in them.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very tasty. But when she made them, I was never allowed to eat them when she made them. She would always take and put them in a tin and slide them under her bed or someplace where I wouldn't know where to get them and then bring them out just about Christmas time. She let them age. And I always wondered, why would you let them get stale? But they did taste real good after they were stale.
Now, what it was dates?
Dates and black walnuts.
And black walnuts.
In a white kind of cakey thing that had a nice flavor to it, but I'm not exactly
right.
Sure what the flavor was.
The black walnuts.
Probably.
The black walnuts are very, I'm so excited that you can buy them again now. Because they weren't, you couldn't really find them. I find black walnuts used a lot right now. I'm going to guess this. You have to kind of think with me. You're using the dates, and now if you were to use figs or another soft preserved fruit, they'd be the same thing would happen. I believe. What she ended up with was something that was very close to the consistency of a fruitcake. And you know you want the fruitcake to sit for a long period of time and mellow. And I'm going to guess that the figs aren't going to spoil and they aren't going to get stale, but they will mellow and pick up these flavors and sort of enrich themselves by sitting. That's why you never make a fruitcake and then eat it the same day.
Yeah, you might be very close to right like that, but you know how a fruitcake has kind of a wet texture all the way?
Moist, yes.
Moist texture. This did not. This kind of stayed kind of almost crumbly dry, but maybe that was just because of the way the combination is. And unfortunately, Mom doesn't remember things anymore, so she can't tell me anything more about it than that. But that's the way it goes, you know. You should ask questions when you have the chance.
Well, there is that. Now, here's another thought, is that maybe she didn't want them to be eaten before a particular time.
You're probably absolutely right.
Which is, I've got to get these done so they'll be ready, and now we put them away so that they'll be ready, and then here you are, and you were ready.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right. Thank you for the call. Others are welcome. Again, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Was it, I'm just thinking about how you said that maybe there was a while where you couldn't get black walnuts.
Yeah.
And people know that the roots are toxic. That's why there are a lot of things that won't grow around a black walnut. And apparently the husks have some toxin. And I kind of wonder, have people gotten the idea that somehow black walnuts would make you sick or would be poisonous or something like
no,
that? Like the
I'll
nuts
tell
themselves.
You what it is. I'll tell you what it is and why they are so expensive.
Yes.
It's all hand labor. There is no mechanical way of producing black walnuts. Now, families used to go out and gather walnuts. Then you'd bring them home and you'd put the walnuts with the husk around it into the driveway and drive over it for a couple of months. And that would get the husks off. Then you would go out and pick those up. And then you sat around the fire and father would crack the walnuts, which were very hard to do. And then the children and the mother would then pick the walnuts out. And it was all a handmade process. And they have not made a mechanical way of doing it. I sort of understand that from some of these ads of recent. As I say, I'm very pleased. You can buy a large amount of black walnuts at Sam's. And I found black walnuts at other stores in smaller amounts, but I didn't ever. See, Daddy liked black walnut ice cream. If you bought ice cream, it better be black walnut. And you can't even find black walnut ice cream anymore. It just disappeared because people quit doing things for themselves.
Yeah,
and it just wasn't available.
Okay. Well, we actually have a black walnut tree in my backyard. Seems like the squirrels.
Well, you give it to the squirrels,
don't
you?
They have, and of course, what else have they got to do?
Drop them on your roof.
Well, that too. Yeah. All right. Let's talk with some other folks here. Some Champaign callers. Let's go to line one in Champaign. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes. Hi.
This isn't cookies, and I don't have a recipe. I just thought I would pass along that this is the only time of year my mother ever made fondant.
Oh my, yes, fondants.
And you have to have a very cold, very clear, still night to make it.
I don't believe I knew that.
Well, I've tried it other times.
Yes.
It didn't. I think my daughter has the cookbook with the recipe, but since she's in England, it's not going to help us. But I did want to just pass that along because fondant is something you don't hear about anymore.
You don't use that word. That's an old along with divinity.
Yeah.
And Panucci.
Yep.
those were the three that everyone always made.
Yeah. I think my grandmother made divinity, I think.
Yes.
We had to hide the fondant because between me and my mother, it didn't last very long if we didn't. And I'd hide half of it, and she'd hide half of it.
Yes. Oh, how great. That's a good memory.
That's my story for today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
That is very holiday-esque again. I mean, yes. It came out only at that time.
Do I remember that divinity is kind of like fudge? Is it a relative of fudge?
Yeah, it's white.
It's white,
and yeah. There's a complexity in making it. You have to beat it up. It's what it kind of like is an exaggerated Italian meringue, where you pour hot material into some cold material and then sit there and beat it until it gets a little frothy and foamy, and it's very difficult, very difficult to make. And women prided themselves that they could make divinity.
All right, let's talk with somebody else here in Champaign, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I don't have a recipe. I have more of a question about a recipe.
Yes.
I usually make sugar cookies pretty much every holiday, but especially on Christmas.
Yes.
And I make the icing really simple. It's just powdered sugar, and usually I'll stir in a little bit of milk or juice or something like that to flavor it. But my problem is that my icing never gets firm. And so I don't know. And, you know, other people make sugar cookies and their icing is, you know, firm. And, you know, when the cookies stack on top of one another, they're fine.
Yeah.
But my cookies, I can't do that.
I think it may be the wrong icing. You may be using the wrong icing.
Okay.
Probably what was traditionally made around you was, I think, called a 7-minute boiled icing. And that's a little more complex. And that icing stands up. So look for recipes for boiled icing. And it's one that is cooked. I know that's one that my mother used because she didn't know how to use powdered sugar and lemon juice.
Yeah.
Another thing is maybe you should, I know what you could use. Use some butter flavored Crisco.
Okay.
And mix the powdered sugar and the flavorings in that using, and that's kind of one of the Wilton cake styles of cake icing, and it will hold up a little bit longer. Your other one is just really a glaze instead of an icing.
Yeah.
And either expect less from it and just treat it as a glaze and then say, well, that's what it's going to be, or make an icing with a little bit of fat in it, and it will stand up and it'll look like what you want.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
And I'm looking here. I'm on the web, and at least I did a search for boiled icing,
yes.
So I got a whole bunch
yes.
of hits. So I'm not really quite sure what the basic technique is, although it looks like it's relatively I was going to say simple. I don't know. Maybe there's some
simple.
Kind of trick.
It's complex. Yeah. There's a trick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like at what time do you mix mm-hmm. this into that, and how, and then you have to get to a softball stage, I think.
That's what maybe that's the issue. It's one of those things where you're working something and you need it to be at a particular temperature
yes.
for it to do what you
yes.
want it to do.
And in the old days when not everyone had a thermometer, you cooked it to the softball stage, which meant that you dipped the syrup mixture into cold water. It would form a soft ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you cook it longer to the crack, and you pour it into cold water, it will instantly turn to a crisp, sharp, hard, which was the hardball stage.
And now we do that with thermometers.
With thermometers.
Yeah.
No, David. Now we don't even do it.
No, we don't. Well, that's true. Nobody does. Almost nobody does that.
Yes.
Anymore. We don't. Nobody makes their own candy.
That's why I was having fun looking up the old recipes because I like the idea of maintaining that.
Well, I was thinking about your saying about how back in the day people didn't have food processors. I told you about this disaster that I had. I tried to bake something over the weekend, and it was
yes.
a Marcia Adams recipe. And in this recipe, you chop up apples, and she suggests that you use a food processor. And I didn't want to bring out my stand mixer, and I'm thinking, now, Amish ladies, they do not have food processors and KitchenAids.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to make this by the old-fashioned way, and I chopped up the apples by hand, and I did my creaming of the butter and the sugar by hand.
I
just made a big bowl.
Yes.
And it was a huge flop. So maybe I should have gotten my KitchenAid out
I guess it is. Because the creaming of sugar and butter together, the butter dissolves the sugar, and the sugar is surrounded by the butter, and so you're developing a kind of an environment.
Yeah, and I think that also was because when I did try it, and I was crunching sugar granules between my teeth, so clearly the sugar had not incorporated with the butter in the way that you want.
If you're using a KitchenAid, you want to do that for 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's I should have.
I know that Mother would have me mixing things sometimes because she just couldn't mix that long. And it was something, I mean, and we always laughed at one of them, you know, there used to be in recipes, you know, beat this 200 times. Well, with a wooden spoon to beat, you're going to froth it up, or you're going to add air to it, or make another kind of a mixture out of it. And I remember sometimes she would ask me to do it because she just couldn't do it that long.
Yeah, I told my wife my Amish grandmother had always chased us out of the kitchen and said, "Go see if your grandfather needs help." And she said, "You didn't have an Amish grandmother." I said, "Well, no, actually, I didn't. She was Irish." And we have a couple of minutes left here. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Was there a, we have a caller I think we're getting lined up here. Was there no, I guess they changed their mind. Was there, well, I'm going to have a molasses cookie actually.
Yeah, bite into the molasses cookie, but I want to talk about the third cookie that I brought, which is pretty unusual. Because it uses fennel or anise, and these are refrigerator cookies, which I've never found out where I remember when refrigerator cookies came in. Well, it was when we came in with a refrigerator. You know, you didn't. There wasn't any way of chilling the dough for a regular cookie. I suppose, come winter, you'd set it out on the. And so there may have been a chilled version of it. But I like this particular cookie, which is the third one you have to taste. Mm-hmm. It's 1 3/4 cups of flour, a teaspoon of baking powder, a teaspoon of anise seeds, and I took the seeds. And I put them on my counter, and I took a glass bottle and rolled over them so that they broke and shattered a little bit, the anise seeds. It says sometimes that some people would do that, and sometimes they wouldn't, in a mortar and pestle. And my mortar and pestle was in the basement, and so I used a glass jar on my top. A quarter of a teaspoon of salt, one full cup of sugar, and 8 tablespoons of vegetable shortening. Now, they didn't want butter, so I didn't use butter. I used the butter-flavored chunk of Crisco and 1 large egg, which is not a lot of moisture. So, and those are done in the usual way. Whisk the dried things together, the baking powder, anise seeds, and salt, and then beat the sugar and shortening together with, and here this is really good, with electric mixer on medium speed. they're adding all of that. And you beat that for about 3 to 6 minutes, you see, which is a long time. Then you beat in the egg, and you reduce the mixture and add the flour. So it's a very simple thing. And then you transfer it to, it's a little thick, and you transfer it to the counter and roll it into a 9-inch log and put it in plastic wrap and refrigerate it for an hour. And then you come back and you cut them at 1/4 inch thick. And this is cooked at 400 degrees for 10 minutes.
That's really hot.
That's really hot. And for 10 minutes and just until the edges start to turn brown.
So you really got to watch that.
You've got to watch that one. Yeah, you've got to watch that one. Break off a little. Oh, you did break off a piece of
it. It's very nice. And I'm actually, I have to admit that I'm not really a huge fan of the licorice. Of the licorice family of taste.
But it's very faint.
It's just enough there so that
you say, oh, that's different.
Yeah, so it's there, but it's not it's not real overpowering.
Yuck, exactly. That's why I like it. And the crumb is good. They're not hard. It's not quite a let's see, what is it? 1 cup of sugar and 8 tablespoons of shortening. It's not quite a shortbread variety, but it's very close to it.
We are getting down to the point here when we have about 2 minutes, and actually I think we got some calls here we want to try to get before we end up out of time. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. I think we got somebody on our toll-free, and we have somebody calling in on another line, and we'll try real hard to get everybody in. And, maybe we'll at least get one call. No. Okay. Well, maybe I scared people by saying we were near the end of the show and they figured they didn't have enough time. We do have about 1.5 minutes left. I don't know if there was a last little thing that you might want to mention.
I did bring another recipe because it took me so long time to find it, but this is one that my mother did make, only she never knew what they were named, and we found it, I think, last year, the dry Augen three eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And what it really is a sugar cookie with one. And I always loved making this because Mother had a thimble. And she would use the thimble to punch out the three eyes. I don't think she ever baked those three eyes separately. She mashed them back up into the dough and made it more. But I love the idea of these two cookies put together with a jam in between, and then they sort of look out those three eyes.
And so maybe some people know that of a similar kind of thing where rather than being three eyes, what you're doing is that the top cookie just has a big hole cut
well,
in
that's
it,
a,
and sort
that's,
of like a donut.
That's a different cookie.
Oh, okay.
this dry Alken is specifically German and Swiss. Martha Stewart did one with a Christmas tree. Cut a Christmas tree out and put it on top of some jelly. And I thought, well, that's nice, but what happened to the three eyes?
Okay. Well, we're about at the point here we're going to have to finish up. If we have some recipes and if folks would like to drop us a line, we can make copies
and
send them out.
I have copies of these recipes.
And next month will unbelievably enough be January and we'll be another year. Will you be with us?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, I'll be. I'm sure that I'll be here. And I have already a request from a listener who wants to talk about New Orleans cooking.
Ah.
So we'll just. I don't have to worry about it. It's already done.
Okay.
You know, of course, that I wrote a small addendum to a cookbook for. So I'll bring those recipes in.
All right.
We'll laugh at that. It was a book that was printed in England. Friends of mine had a publishing company, and they were doing a book on New Arcadia, which is the Arcadians having come down to to New Orleans, and so I added the food section.
All right. Well, then we'll see you on January 4th.
Is that when it is?
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
See you on January 4th.
All right.